Dr. Sharma, what got you interested in researching obesity?
Well, I trained as a physician back in Germany, and in fact, I'm a nephrologist, and I had a lot of patients who came to me because of problems that they had with high blood pressure and diabetes and many other health problems. And it turns out that in many of these common diseases that we deal with, the common underlying factor is excess body weight. It's when people gain body weight that their risk goes up for getting diabetes or their risk goes up for getting heart disease. And so I became more and more interested in the link between excess body weight in these conditions. So really asking the question, what is it that makes people gain weight? Why is it so difficult to lose weight and keep it off? But more importantly, how is it that this excess body weight that people accumulate affects their health? And why is it, for example, that when you gain weight, your blood pressure goes up or your risk for diabetes increases? And so these are all important clinical questions. And so so rather than trying to just treat their blood pressure or trying to treat their diabetes, the obvious question is, why don't we just treat their obesity? That then takes care of the blood pressure and the diabetes and many other conditions that patients might have. And that's essentially how I got into it and how I started thinking about some of the possible approaches you could take to treating obesity.
Do you have any answers at this point? What is it that is causing us to be so obese?
Well, I think the first thing that you realize when you deal with obesity is that no matter what is causing obesity, once you have obesity, you essentially have a chronic disease. And what I mean by that is that, as most people have experienced, it's one thing to lose weight, but it's a completely different story trying to keep that weight off. And I often say that obesity is a disease that has 100% recidivism, which means if you once have it, you pretty much have it for life. You're either a treated obese person, which means you're someone who's lost weight and is keeping it off, or you're just an obese person again. And that is really our definition of a chronic disease. So whether you're trying to manage your weight by being on a diet where you count your calories, or whether you're trying to manage your weight by going for a run every morning, you essentially have to keep doing those things even after you've lost the weight. Because the minute you stop going for a run or the minute you go back to your normal diet, the weight will always come back. And the same essentially is also true if you're thinking about pharmacological treatment. So if you're taking medication that suppresses your appetite or reduces your hunger and you lose weight, you still have to stay on those medications, because if you come off those medications, well, your hunger comes back, your appetite comes back, and you would regain the weight you've lost before. And interestingly, the same is even true for obesity surgery. So a lot of people think that surgery is a cure for obesity, but really it's not, because it's just a chronic form of treatment. So if you went in and stapled someone's stomach and they lost, let's say, 100 pounds and they kept the 100 pounds off for 10 years, if you then went in and removed the staples or you removed the band, those 100 pounds would come back in a couple of months. So even that has not cured their obesity. It's just a chronic form of treatment. And so the big challenge in thinking around obesity management is really not so much how do I get the weight down, because that's relatively easy. There are lots of different diets, there's lots of medications, there's lots of ways to do that. But the key challenge here is, well, how do you actually keep the weight off once you've lost it? And that's where things then become difficult, because now you're really thinking about how do I manage a chronic disease for which we have no cure, and how do we get patients to actually stick with treatments essentially for life.
Are you making any headway in that direction?
Well, I think just by thinking of obesity as a chronic disease, you start making headway, because once you tell a patient that obesity is a lifelong diagnosis, becoming obese or having obesity is like having a diagnosis of diabetes, or having a diagnosis of high blood pressure, or having a diagnosis of osteoarthritis or whatever. Those are all chronic conditions, which means that yes, we will have treatments that are going to help you, reduce the pain or reduce the lower the blood pressure or improve your glucose, but you are going to have to stick with those treatments forever. You cannot just say, you know what, my blood pressure is high, so I'm going to take my blood pressure pills for the next 3 months and then see what happens. And once it's down, hopefully it'll stay down. That just does not happen. When you get off your medications, the blood pressure goes back up. And in obesity, it's the same story. Whatever the treatment is that works for you, if you stop that treatment, your weight always comes back.
You've just come to Alberta from Ontario, from McMaster University. What are you hoping to accomplish here?
At McMaster, I was very much focusing on the research aspects of obesity, and we were doing a number of very exciting projects. What fascinated me about the opportunity of coming to Alberta was really that here we had within the Capital Health region the opportunity to build a clinical program that focuses on providing treatments for obesity, which is really at a regional level something that's quite innovative. You know, we have pockets of obesity clinics here and there across the country. We've got small programs. We've got a few private clinics that do obesity surgery. But what we don't have and what is really needed is a region-wide or even a provincial obesity program so that everybody who is suffering from this chronic disease gets the best possible care. Currently, the situation is that if you have diabetes and go to your family doctor, you know, you get diabetes treatment. If you have high blood pressure and go to your family doctor, you get treatment for high blood pressure. If you have, let's say, you know, osteoarthritis and you go to your family doctor, you get treatment for osteoarthritis. But if you have obesity and go to your family doctor, he doesn't know what to do. And most cases, he'll send you off to, I don't know, see a dietitian or go to one of the commercial weight loss programs. And we know that those programs in themselves don't actually provide long-term treatment for obesity because they don't address it as a medical issue. They look at obesity as being something that's cosmetic and, you know, here's a diet plan, here's something, you know, we want you to buy our products and if you take them or if you attend our classes, then, you know, you'll manage to lose some weight. But there's very little evidence that when patients lose weight with the help of these commercial products or when they lose weight with the help of these services that they actually manage to keep the weight off in the long term. Some patients do, but that's only because they keep following you know, the advice that they've gotten. But as with most chronic diseases, when you stop seeing your healthcare provider, the disease always comes back.
Obesity is being considered probably one of the most critical issues that we're dealing with health-wise today. And what I'm amazed at is the number of different areas that research is being done. What are some of those areas?
Well, research is being done on obesity in a wide range of areas because we have realized that there are many, many dimensions to this problem. Some of the reasons that are causing the obesity crisis is the fact that people are not moving enough. And when you look at the reasons why people are not moving enough, you actually have to look at the environment in which we live. People don't walk to work anymore. When they get to work, they don't have to do any physical labor at work anymore. They spend their time sitting in front of computers. They use elevators to get up to their whatever floor they're working on. When they get home, they have their kids and they're driving around their kids. They sit in their cars and, you know, drive the kids to sports or pick them up from sports. They drive their cars to do their shopping, etc. So, and the reason they have to do that is because that's how we build our cities, right? We do not build our cities that would allow people to just walk to where they need to go or where they can ride a bike to where they need to go. So that's very interesting. And so in order to understand the impact of the built environment on obesity, you have to do the kind of research that's going to help you understand you know, what are those factors and are there ways to change some of those factors so that people can become more physically active if they want to. But we also have the nutrition side of things. You know, people are going to choose the foods that they like and they're going to eat the foods that make them happy and they're going to eat the foods that are cheap and affordable and easily available. And so now you're looking at a completely different aspect of the obesity issue, namely the whole idea around how do we regulate and what are the policies that are in place that make foods available to people, right? And so now you've got all the research that needs to go into this, into thinking about what are the best foods and what are the healthiest foods to eat and what is it that drives people to junk food or what is it that drives people to fast food? Is there a way that we can actually make junk food healthier by, for example, removing trans fats from those foods, etc.? So there's a whole area of research. But then things get even more complicated because we know that genetics plays a very important role. So we've always known that if you have parents who have weight issues, then you're very likely to end up having the same issues. And we know that obesity is transmitted in families. And so trying to understand, well, what are those genetic factors that are being transmitted? What are the genes that cause obesity? And how do those genes actually cause obesity? Do they work on by increasing your hunger, by your increasing your appetite, by reducing the calories that you burn, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, that's a whole different area of research that you can think of. And just to give you one more example, when you think of clinical management of patients, now you've got a completely different story. Now the question is, well, how do you manage obesity? How do you even diagnose obesity? And one of the things you realize when you deal with this is that that obesity is really a very heterogeneous condition. And what I mean by that is that there are many roads to obesity. There are many reasons that an individual can gain weight. Some of them is because they're not moving. Some of it is because it's their diet. Some of them are eating because they're depressed. Some people have a genetic background that allows them to gain weight. Some people are taking medications that promote weight gain. And it could be a combination of any of these factors in different people. And so when you look at your patient population, you're not going to find one treatment that works for everybody. And the reason for that is because the reason that different people have obesity is very different from person to person. And that's what makes it so complicated, but that's also what makes it so fascinating. And because of the complexity of obesity as a condition, we need to have all these different streams of research that really try to understand what is obesity, where does it come from, what are the potential treatment options that we have, do those treatment options actually work, and if they do work, why do they work in some people and not work in others? And there's even research that then needs to be done, for example, on the cost effectiveness of treatment, because if you're going to provide treatments for obesity, well, then you have to show those treatments will actually save money in the long run. So there's many, many areas of obesity research that are interesting and relevant and have to be done in order to really get a handle on this very complex problem.
Well, I would think, too, that if we change our thinking towards it, so it's not just, oh, there's a bunch of fat people out there, but we're dealing with a chronic disease issue, that brings all kinds of other things into play, human rights issues, the built environment, all kinds of different things. How do we deal with this on a social and political level?
Well, because it's such a complex problem, one has to realize that there's not going to be a quick fix for obesity. There's not going to be a simple solution. There's going to be different pieces of the puzzle that we need to figure out and decide on how we want to change them, but then it'll take time to implement some of those policies. I mean, if you take the example of built environments, I mean, we can't just, you know, tear down our cities and rebuild them to make them more accessible to bicycles, etc. We can't, you know, ban cars from driving in cities so that people, you know, are more likely to walk. I mean, those are not things that you can do, and that's not what anybody wants to do. So one has to be quite creative in thinking about how do we reintroduce physical activity into our daily lives? How do we change our feeding behavior, if you want to call it that? How do we make healthy foods more accessible? How do we ultimately, you know, do the things that we can to prevent obesity? But on the same or at the same time, we have to realize that the people who already have this condition, and when we look at Alberta, we're talking about 600,000 people, 20% of the population. What do they do? Because we know that treating obesity once you have it is a huge challenge, and really it is a chronic disease. So once you've put on those extra pounds, if you're talking 5-10 pounds, that's not likely to cause your health problem. But if you're talking about patients or individuals who are now 50 pounds or 100 pounds or 200 pounds overweight, I mean, they have a medical condition that needs medical treatment, and there's no way around that. So these are all challenges that one has to look at from the broad perspective to say, well, you know, where do we address this issue, and at what level do we address this issue? Because clearly, if you don't, then the consequences of this epidemic are going to be that a lot of people are going to have a lot of health problems, including diabetes and pains in their backs and their knees and sleep apnea and infertility and reflux disease and various types of cancers, etc. I mean, we're going to be paying for all of those problems anyway. So why don't we take some of that money and invest it into treating obesity, which we know, if effective, essentially prevents all those other conditions. And so when you think about having, you know, centers where you're replacing people's hips and knees, the question is really, you know, why do so many people need new hips and knees? And the answer there is obesity, right? So the question is, well, why don't we have a huge center that treats obesity? That's exactly what we're trying to build here. We're trying to build an infrastructure that, starting from a very basic community level where the emphasis is on prevention and healthy living and teaching people to make healthy choices, etc., goes all the way to working with family doctors to make sure that when you go to your family doctor and have obesity as your problem, your family doctor and the allied health professionals, the nurses, the dietitians, etc., actually know how to treat that condition. And when things get more complicated or more serious, then you have the resources and the centers in place for patients who really have huge weight issues can go for help.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sharma.
You're welcome.